What is the essence of eternal reward? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we are nearing the end of our series on eternal rewards. And this series is based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. So I sat in the studio with Bob and Sean and discussed this chapter, which is called Relationship. Let's go right to our conversation. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're here with Lucas Kitchen to discuss his new book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. Now we're coming to the end of our series, and we're coming to the end of the last chapter? I think it is the last chapter, chapter 24 in his book. The title is Relationship, and that's the kind of reward that we're going to discuss now. One of the rewards that you get for being a faithful, overcoming Christian has to do with your relationship with Jesus. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. You know, it seems to me that we innately understand this idea of relationship being a reward. So I'll sometimes use this kind of word picture. Let's imagine that you arrive in heaven and Jesus says to you, you can have all the treasure you want and you can have all the rewards that I offered you, but I'm sorry, I've got to go. And so I'm going to leave you here on your own. And then Jesus leaves and we never see him again for all of eternity. What I would say in that situation is, who cares about the treasure, about those rewards, if those rewards are not connected to Christ? And so the point is, for instance, in Genesis 15:1, God says to Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. And so if we don't have a view that rewards represent and even have their essence in relationship with Christ and with God, then we're really missing out on the point of rewards. Because who cares about gold if we're not in proximity to Jesus? And so a lot of times when someone says that we shouldn't be motivated by rewards, I think a lot of times it's because they've missed this aspect, that reward has its essence in relationship with God and with Christ.
Well, I love this point, because all the rewards we've talked about thus far have really been external things. Clothes that you wear, gates that you get to cross into, fruit that you get to eat, that kind of thing, or responsibilities that you'll have in the kingdom. But you're saying, Lucas, what ties all of these rewards together and what really makes them worthwhile is that they bring us intimacy with Jesus.
Yeah.
He's ultimately the reason why we want these rewards, because we want to be close to him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, a great example of our intimacy with Christ in the kingdom to come, I think a great example of it is Revelation 3:21, where Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, obviously that has to do with us ruling and reigning with him, but it's interesting to me that he says that we're going to share a seat in the kingdom, so to speak. Now, I don't literally think we're going to cram all onto one seat, all billion of us, but it seems to me to be an image of sharing in this intimate relationship. And to me, I imagine the friendships and the relationships I've had over the years, and my closest relationships seem to be when I'm working with someone to accomplish some important task. And so our relationships seem to really strengthen and be intimate when we have a shared goal. And it seems like what Jesus is saying is, my most faithful will get to be so close to me in proximity and also in duty. And so I love that image that we get from that. And what he follows that by is, he says that we'll share his throne with him. And then he says, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so he compares his intimacy with his Father, at least in some way, with the intimacy that overcomers can have with him in the kingdom. And that is a type of reward. It's a category of reward that we see in Revelation.
Yeah, that's very good. And it ties in with, we've talked a lot about ruling with Christ and how that's a reward. And in fact, the chapter previous to this is on royalty and on how we'll rule with Christ. And Revelation 3:21 ties that together with relationship, because sitting with him on his throne is a position of co-rulership, yes, but it's also a position of closeness, of approval, of his praise, his honor. And all of that, sometimes to get an earthly example of it, I think, well, what if I was the chief of staff of the President of the United States, right? Yeah. Or what if I was in his cabinet, right? I was a cabinet member for the President of the United States. I was Secretary of Defense, say, and I got to travel around the world and represent the President and fly on Air Force One and be around the President and be in cabinet meetings. Wouldn't that be special? Yeah. But that wouldn't hold a candle to being close to Jesus, yeah, to being part of his cabinet, to be part of his administration. Now, yes, admittedly, we may be ruling in some little town in Texas. We have one here near Dallas called Balch Springs. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes say, you know, if you're not very faithful, you may be the mayor of Balch Springs or something. And if, I'm sorry, if you live in Balch Springs, just disregard what I just said. But I grew up in Southern California, and we used to have a place called Needles where my great uncle was from. And if you've ever been to Needles, it's just the hottest, driest, dustiest place on the planet. And, you know, regardless, what am I doing, Sean? Rescue me. Something.
Yeah, very good.
You're amazing. Good,
that's so true, Bob. Good. All of those insights. Wow.
You have to come to our Grace of Focus Radio for these key insights.
So Needles is hot and dry. And you don't want to be the mayor over there.
No, you don't.
You're not going to get a lot of intimacy there.
No, that's right. That's what I meant. That's it. Bring me back to the topic. It's something about relationship.
Needles is far from Jerusalem.
It is. It's a long way.
Well, I think of every night, my kids are loud. We have a loud family. I don't know how that happened because my wife and I are very quiet, but we have a very loud family. And the kids are very boisterous. And at the end of the day, to kind of get them to calm down, we do something called the quiet circle. We turn off the lights. We sit before going to bed. We sit in a circle and we each say a praise to God and we each say a prayer. We pray for somebody. And so every kid gets a turn to just pray and praise and hopefully to calm down. And my littlest one, Scout, what she likes to do is she likes to sit in my lap. She doesn't want to sit on the side. She wants to sit on my lap as we do this prayer. And it kind of makes the other kids jealous because they're like, I want to sit next to Daddy. I want to sit next to Daddy. And there's always this kind of little tussle because they love me and they want to be near me.
Right.
And that's kind of, I think, what this reward is a little bit about. I mean, yes, there's the official capacity, but there's just something about wanting to sit.
I like your illustration better than
mine. Is my illustration better?
Yeah. Yeah, you win. Okay, that's much better. I like that.
There's another set of really great verses that I love that help us to see this idea of relationship as reward in the kingdom. It comes from Revelation 2. And I'm going to kind of put two verses together here, first part of verse 26, last part of verse 28. And when we put those together, here's what it says. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, I will give him the morning star. Now, you may say, well, what in the world is the morning star? Luckily, we have an indication of that, which shows up at the end of Revelation. So he sort of keeps us waiting until the end. But he says in 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. What I see in this is that for the overcomer, for the one who keeps Jesus' commands until the end of their life, who fights to be that victorious Christian, there is this reward, and it has something to do with intimacy with the morning star, Christ himself. And so once again, I see this theme through Revelation and through Scripture that the essence of eternal reward is our relationship, our closeness to Christ in the kingdom of heaven.
Well, what does that mean for people who don't overcome? Are they not going to be with Jesus?
Well, everybody will be with Jesus forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 says, whether we wake or whether we sleep, we'll be with him forever. And so every single believer will be with him forever. However, there are degrees of being with him. Some are going to have extremely close kinship. King David is going to be called the prince, and he's evidently going to be Jesus' right-hand man. The 12 apostles are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to be like in his cabinet. If we're ruling in some city in the United States, yes, we're going to have closeness to Jesus. If we're ruling over multiple cities, more closeness. But our closeness won't be as close as David or Abraham or Moses or the apostles. Certain jobs are already taken. But yes, the person who is not an overcomer, well, we're not exactly told what their role will be in the kingdom. They're obviously going to have some sort of a job, as we've mentioned before. They're going to serve him forever. Revelation 22:5 says his servants will serve him. They will be around him, but their closeness will be less than the overcomers.
Well, so this kind of feeds into this idea that there are rewards, but there's also loss. There's also not getting as much as you could. And so you're really, do you think people will grieve that? Do you think people will kind of long for that and not have it?
Yeah, I think they will. And maybe we may have one other show talking about loss, because that's a full topic all in itself. But yes, I think potentially this is very controversial, because a lot of people think there'll be no negative emotions in eternity for the believer. But I think if it's not a sinful emotion, like experiencing some level of regret, then that's some possibility that you'll have that forever. Not grief. Obviously, grief goes away even in this life and quickly with a glorified body. But regret? Yeah, I would expect we'd eternally regret if we're not going to rule with Christ, or if we rule with him but we're not ruling as much as we could. I expect we'll have some regret.
Is there a final verse that you can kind of leave us with here, Lucas?
We've actually looked at it already, but I think it's worth going back to on the subject of loss. It comes up in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 15. He says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Okay, so we're talking about reward. But then he says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I think that answers the question that there is some type of loss on the entrance into the kingdom of heaven for those whose work is burned up.
Well, that idea of loss is very sobering, but I don't want to leave us with that sobering thought. I want to leave you with a joyous thought, the joy of being in a close, intimate relationship with Jesus forever and ever. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what this is all for? If so, I want to encourage you to live a rewardable life in the here and now so that you can be in an intimate relationship with Jesus forever in the hereafter.
Amen.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion and this great opportunity to talk through this book. We have two more episodes in this series that we're going to get to this week. But as we near the end of this series, I don't want you to miss out on your opportunity to get your own copy of this book. You can do so by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, you can just search the title, Eternal Reward, It Will Pay to Obey, or you can go to the store, which you can find right there with the store button on the website. By doing that, you can get your own copy of this book. But let me tell you, while you're on the site, you ought to take advantage of our other free resources that are right there on faithalone.org. We've got subscriptions to various free items like our magazine, our podcast, our daily blog posts. All of these are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith. I hope you'll take advantage of these things. Now, if you'd like to send us a message, we love to hear from listeners. I hope you'll do that. You can reach out to us through email. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about what loss of reward really means. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.